Top business stories. Power Business.
Power Business with Kaya Sitole. Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. and Fridays, 6 to 7 p.m.
Welcome back to the Wednesday evening edition of Power Business. The Emira Property Fund, they've released their latest interim results. And of course, anyone in the property sector has had an extraordinary 2.5 years or so as they navigated their way through the pandemic. Have they recovered? Well, we can find out from the Chief Executive Officer, Jeff Jennett. Mr. Jennett, I imagine the past 2 years have been sobering. And of course, everybody has learned how to navigate through very, very stormy waters. Have you as Emira Property Fund sort of mastered a way of living with the pandemic?
Yes, Guy, we have. It's been a very tough 2 years for everybody. The uncertainty, the business disruption, the global pandemic, it's all been unprecedented. But if you've got a strategy, you've got a good team, you do the fundamentals really well, you're diversified, and you act cautiously with a solid balance sheet, you're going to come through this. And I certainly think that we have started to turn now. We're definitely coming through this. And that's why you can see in terms of our results, where we're paying out our 56.5 cents dividend for the 6 month period.
Speaking about diversification, of course, your portfolio essentially transcends the entire spectrum of the property sector. Talk us through what key aspects of your portfolio is and how each of them performed.
Yeah, so retail on our direct portfolio, that constitutes around about 80% of our total assets. Half of that is in the urban retail portfolio. And that's actually certainly held its own, where if I look at on the vacancy side, that's actually sitting at 3.6%. And if you compare that back to pre-COVID levels of 2.4%, you can see we've ticked up a little bit there. Under our offices sector, which comprises about 30% of that direct portfolio, 30% of the 80, that unfortunately is where we have an oversupply, and that's where we've been hurt the most. And vacancies are now sitting at 18%, but the rate of increase in that vacancy has slowed down, and we think we're starting to reach more sort of a normal level now, and we'll probably run for the next 18 months or so under that, 24 months. Under the industrial portfolio, where our particular industrial portfolio focused on midi and mini units, those are the smaller industrial parks, we're actually back at a 2.6% vacancy, which is actually slightly better than what it was pre-COVID when we were 2.7%. So from those sectors side, those are our three main sectors. And you can see where retail has held its own, industrial is certainly recovered, and offices due to the oversupply and questions in regard to lockdowns and so on, that's taken the most pain. We've got a small sector on the residential side through our investment into Transcend and one property that we own directly. That's also held its own. It hasn't shot the lights out, but it's a consistent asset. People need somewhere to stay. And then the last part is really our investment into the United States, where that constitutes 15% of our total assets. We invest into grocer-anchored, value-orientated, what's called power centers. These are open-air centers in the south and southeastern states inside the U.S., and those have been performing very well. Our vacancy is back down to pretty much pre-COVID levels. I was in the States for the first time in 2 years, only now in January, first time that we could get back in there. And that economy has bounced back very strongly. It's actually what's happening on the ground is strong stuff. The level of vaccinations is right up there. It's high. People aren't wearing masks. The Omicron variant doesn't seem to have impacted them severely, even though the rate of infection that you see looks high. The point being that economy is open for business, and it's that the Americans are capitalists, and they're out there to make that next dollar, and it's a strong economy, and they're doing that. The infrastructure is strong enough to enable that.
Another important measure of performance in your sector is, of course, the question of the tenant retention rate. And I imagine that for some tenants, they would have looked at the cost of exiting long-term contracts and said, we'll hold on until the contract expires. So, of course, it's important to then retain them. How have you performed there?
Yeah, so we've done certainly in line with our objectives. We've achieved an 86% tenant retention rate. In other words, 86% of our tenants that come up for renewal, we've managed to retain those. And that's a good number. Anything above 80% is good. And in this sort of market, you want to retain your guys. But in order to do that, we've had to be flexible with our tenants. We've had to pull back over-rented properties where original rentals that we were charging tenants that had escalated over the years were now no longer market related because of an oversupply, particularly in the office space, and rental levels had fallen. So across the fund, if you strip out one of the particular leases that we did, we've got an overall negative 12% reduction on those leases that we needed to renew. And, you know, just to contextualize that as well, we've probably got close to 20% of our leases, 20 to 25% that come at us each year. And so if you've got 25% of your leases pulling back by 12 or 13 or 14% in a particular period, well, you can, you know, you've still got the other 75 to 80% of your portfolio that's escalating at your 5, 6, 7% contractual escalations.
You mentioned the oversupply of assets within the office sector, and of course that is something that is inevitable in light of many of us having not even been to our offices for the better part of the last 2 years. One of your competitors that we spoke to here a couple of weeks ago have said that they've actually taken one of their office portfolios and decided to convert into residential. Of course that has its own implications. Is this something that may become an inevitable solution in the short term for as long as the oversupply persists?
I think that's certainly one of them. I really don't see that this oversupply being a permanent nature. I think we're all suffering from the lockdown and how to operate our businesses in this newer environment. But there's a space for offices. It's a space that you collaborate. It's a space where you mentor. It's a space where you interact. And it's the space where corporate cultures are actually made and allow people to grow and companies to grow. So there will always be a space for that, but the internal dynamics of an office building might change. What you mentioned in regard to the residential conversions, Emira did its first residential conversion back in 2016, 2017 with an office block in Rosebank. And that's been a success. We know how to do it. We've done that. But not all buildings lend themselves to residential conversions. It's got to have the right, what's called the footplate, which is the floor plate of the building and how you can fit that in. The node's got to be right. The zoning's got to be right. The building has to enable it. And it's got to be a good product that fits into where people want to stay. So I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all. I don't think it's a permanent solution either. But it does have its space or place in order to be a part solution in refiguring excess office supply.
During hard lockdowns, I imagine some of your clients, particularly in the retail and office portfolio, subjected to hard lockdowns, were probably struggling to pay rent. And we know that some of your competitors and even yourself offered some rental concessions. It probably had a bit of a bite on your cash flow on your bottom line. Have you been able to recover some of those concessions?
Yeah, so we've recovered basically all our deferred rentals that we granted back in April, May and June of 2020. And those are all fully recovered. Our collection rate at the moment sitting at 102%. And in this particular six-month period, the new concessions that we've provided have only totaled 1.8 million rand to those high-risk tenants that was really just the back end of the third wave. I think, you know, we've engaged with our tenants, we've provided discounts, we've provided deferrals way back in when those lockdown levels were level 5 and 4 and so on. So that most of our tenants could endure, those ones that we knew would need assistance to get through this what is a temporary pandemic. So it's as landlords, you know, we've also got to look after ourselves and our value of our buildings. So it's we've got to achieve the balance, and that's why from an Emira perspective, we need to be flexible with our tenants. We need to work out what's in their best interest and in ours, and assess it and make the right decision for our tenants, for ourselves, and for the general economy. So do I see concessions and deferrals and so on happening? At this stage, it's going to be a function of what this possible fifth wave that people are beginning to talk about that could come through. But it's at the end of the day, we're in business, and I think the way this year certainly started, and certainly our results are showing it, those are robust results. This year is starting on a positive note. More and more people are going back to the offices. More and more people are in business, and we're realizing that we have to take control of this and get out there and do our business, because hiding behind closed doors and Zooming and Teams meetings and so on isn't the way to build businesses and generate income in an economy that needs that more than ever.
Definitely. A lot to be considered ahead of what may hopefully be a much more normal year compared to what we've seen before. Thank you very much. Jeff Jennett is the Chief Executive Officer of the Emira Property Fund. They've had a bit of a good 6 months. They were able to increase that distributable income up to 329 million. And of course, that meant they were able to declare a dividend of 56.5 cents compared to the 52 cents that they declared a year earlier. Steady progress towards what will hopefully be normal trading conditions in the long run, because the past 2.5 years have been just too volatile for anyone to actually countenance. It is 7 p.m. Time for the latest Power News.